Hi guys, welcome back to Rambles in Perspective, a podcast where slightly strange people discuss random topics. Today we don't have Welo and Shushen. How was your week, guys? How are you guys doing?
Sorry,
that was an awkward. How are you guys doing?
That was a very awkward.
That was an awkward intro, bro.
I try. How is everybody doing?
Doing pretty chilled.
Same old.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Been a chill week.
Yeah.
My doggo passed away this week, so it's been a bit of a morbid one.
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
She had a good life. And a very old, 15-year-old Labrador German Shepherd mix.
Yeah.
That's
good. Soz, man.
But you, how's the other one doing?
Yeah. I was going to say, how's the other one doing?
Yeah. She's been okay. Like, it didn't quite register with her in that first day or two that it happened.
Yeah.
And then, like, slowly as the day goes by and she realizes that she's not there, it kind of mellows her out a little bit. So we are thinking of getting another pup, or just we've been keeping her closer to us and more interactive with us as far as possible, but you can see it's taking its toll on her.
Shame, man.
I saw this video of I don't know if this is something you'd ever want to do, but this woman was talking about how her one dog passed away. So a friend of hers made her a pillow with the dog's face on it. And the other dog got really obsessed with the pillow, and it kind of like brightened up its mood a bit. And it would like lick the pillow and things like that. That was really cute. I don't know if you want to get a pillow.
I'm considering, but I make no promises.
But you need to do like, you need to do the, not the square pillow with the print on it. You need to do it where they like cut it out to the shape.
Yeah.
So cute.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna feel awkward if she ends up ripping that pillow up. I don't know how I'll take that.
Oh, my soul. And how are the other pets doing?
What pets?
Oh, you have Lily. Lolo has her thing.
You mean a boozy dog?
Kyra is
the cat lady, so.
Excuse me. I have two. It's only two.
How are they
two
doing?
Two cats that he likes, Danny.
Yeah, he does like them.
The same thing. Yes,
Nelson is the bomb. I don't know about Lady. She's touch and go, but Nelson's cool.
Lady is touch and go.
She's okay. But like, people who don't like cats like my cats, so it's fine.
Nelson was the first cat I ever liked.
Thank you.
Wow. This is why Lily doesn't like you.
When I met Nelson.
What is the other Reddick? Didn't Reddick like run away from her?
No, I never met his other
They never met her.
Was I the only ones who met them?
Yeah.
And Sinji.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it was still when Ryan wouldn't let me into his house.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, Danny, do you want to introduce this week's topic?
Yes, I can introduce this week's topic. This week's topic is the future of love through design. So we're going to be looking at product design for the future, whether it's like going to be apps, or if it's going to be systems, if it's going to be actual products. What did you guys discover?
A lot of AI dolls things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, did you also come across the, what's that website? Real doll.
Real dolls, yeah. Real dolls X and real dolls, yeah.
Yeah, but did you go to, if you have like a computer in front of you, go to www.realdoll.com.
Yeah, I'm off on the site.
It's wild.
Uh-huh.
It's not for the faint-hearted. I think we need to register this podcast episode as 18 plus. Just because of this website.
Actually, I'm pretty sure all our ones have been 18 plus. So.
Probably.
But yeah. Yeah, real doll.
Yeah.
Do you see they also have Cox on Parade on their site as well?
What?
Oh.
What?
Jeez, just keep scrolling. Holy crap.
So yeah, basically, well, I guess this is, I wouldn't say it's extreme, but compared to what sex dolls used to be, these are very human-like.
And
not inflatable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what got me off, sorry.
I read that apparently in places like Germany, these sort of dolls are starting to replace actual humans. And some sex workers will actually give out some of their clientele to these dolls. I think also in Switzerland, it's starting to like take some momentum.
I think what's also crazy is that... Yeah, sorry.
No, no, go Ryan.
No, I was just going to say that what's crazy is that I didn't realize that they already had AI in them. Like, I thought that was like 10, 20 years off.
Yeah.
And yeah, they already got like infant AI, but still it's crazy that... Jeez.
And they're really advanced, which results in them being quite expensive. So I'm looking at Stephanie 1.0. And she is $6,774.
Jesus.
Well, what's that in, what is that in rand?
Do not have that prepared. Let me go to my conversion.
What was the number?
The number is 6,747.
It's
which is
around 100,000.
Yeah.
100,000 rand.
Jesus. That's a new car. A new car or a sex doll?
That's money you can put down for the house.
Depends on the person who's going to use it more.
I mean, they both give you a ride, so.
Wow, wow, wow. Big wow.
Oh, my soul. Okay, well, what else did you guys find? What did you guys find interesting? What did you guys find weird? What's been happening out there?
Oh, something I actually found interesting was with all these sort of real doll things. A lot of them are geared towards men. So then I tried to see if there were ones that were geared towards women. And there's, I came across like one male doll. And I read that it actually wasn't even initially created to target women. It was initially created to target men with the like afterthought that, oh, I guess women could use it too if they want.
Wow.
Wild.
Mm. Wild. It's crazy. But I also was reading about the, just on the doll side, because I know it's like creepy and that, that they find in that a lot of people suffer from the ability to create bonds and that type of relationships with other humans.
Mm.
These dolls help them to get over that issue or like help them to build the confidence to actually go out and speak to other humans.
Yeah.
So it kind of has a psychological benefit if you suffer from that type of
anxiety.
Yeah, I was reading the same I was reading the same thing, the same what do you call that? Reasoning was given to people who like fall in love with their like anime character or fall in love with like gaming characters and stuff. They say that it doesn't necessarily take them away from society. It like rather helps them, ease them, and like test ways of which they could like approach situations. Because what I was reading on was I think it's Love Games. I think that's what it's called. There's a very specific word for it. I can't remember it right now. But basically, it's like games where you pick from like a certain set of like choices and then you speak to characters. Dating sims, that's what it's called. Dating sims. And basically what this doctor was saying that they like, it rather helps people like test the ways of being like getting over their like social anxiety, or if they have like something they want to say but they don't know how it's gonna like affect what the other person thinks, they'd rather like test it out in like a dating sim than to test it out on like a real person, and then they know how to act in the real world, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
which I found interesting.
That's
crazy.
Cool.
So I came across those VR situations where people have those online bot things where they literally, obviously, more catered towards men, where you sit with your virtual glasses on and you're in this environment and you interact with these online bots, basically. And that leads to a whole different scenario. And then they had, with that, a link to the sex toys and all of these things that go with it. And it became a whole market and a whole event type of thing for people that were, I don't know, lonely or wanted that experience. Like you say, there was those characters and anime characters and virtual characters that people can't necessarily interact with.
Yeah.
But people have found a way to augment that reality and give it to these, give it to people that kind of want that.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy though. I mean, like, imagine falling in love with the AI.
Dude.
It's like her in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but, the movie, if anyone didn't catch that.
And I did read, though, that I read this one article thing saying how there's evidence, well, sort of evidence to show that people will in the future, like, really take on romantic relationships with AI, like full-on romantic relationships with AI, because people are already, like, have so much feelings and emotions towards current technology that we have. So, like, towards your phone and things like that. And they say if that sort of continues to grow as it has, then in the future people will be having, like, solid relationships.
Yeah. I also came across a thing that was saying that, so it's again on, like, people who, like, not, like, lack the ability, but, like, when you're elderly or, like, have been abandoned or are, like, very much alone because they,
like, lonely.
Yeah, what they found, you know, what they say that will be beneficial to those is AIs that can keep them company. And that will then form love, new love bonds or stuff like that, because people become attached to this thing that's there, especially if you're lonely.
Yeah.
Which is a growing pandemic or epidemic, according to one thing I read in modern day society.
Yeah. I think that's smart because I think, like, especially when you get older and you lose more people, and, like, let's say you had kids and now your kids are all grown up and living their own lives. I think it's one of the reasons why people go to old age homes, so they have other people to be around. And they aren't so lonely. But my mom's friend was here this week and she was saying how she needs to go visit her dad. And her dad is, like, I think almost 90 now. And obviously all of his kids are grown up and sort of living their own lives. And his wife passed away some years ago. So now he lives completely on his own. And he's like, she was saying how, like, he's getting, like, lonely. And my dad was like, yeah, you know, you should just try get a companion or get a girlfriend. And she was like, no, can't get a girlfriend. He's too old. And my dad was like, no, but, like, loneliness really, like, it does get people, especially the older you get. So I think that could be, like, a really nice solution.
Yeah.
See, so my thing is with the day and age that we're currently in right now, where a lot of people are no longer used to or no longer able to actually go out and interact and socialize as much as they used to, do you not think that stuff like this might become a little more, I don't know, I don't want to say relevant, but it'll become more mainstream or acceptable?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, people that want that social interaction aren't getting it right now, whether it's for a lack of effort of going out or just downright not being able to do it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
And at some point in time, it affects you emotionally. Whatever, in so many different ways.
Yeah, I came across in that, speaking about, like, two apps. One that started, like, during lockdown, I think in America or the UK. I think it's called Dial Up or something. And basically, it's an app where you put your phone number on and you just say, like, you're open to speaking to someone and it'll connect you to someone anywhere in the world who's also, like, feeling at that time of the day wanting to connect, and it then sets up this phone call for you to just chat. Like, it's not any
it's kind of like, you know, Omegle.
But for voice.
So
and then there was another app called Companion or something, That one was originally started as an app for older people. So like if you know your mother or your father needs someone to kind of come in once a day and maybe do some things for them or check in on them, this app basically set that up for you with the recommended people who are kind of verified. So then it would like send someone there to go speak to your elderly parent. But it's kind of turned into a thing where people have started using it to connect with each other also. So obviously in the UK, for example, lockdown, like you can't leave. And a lot of the companion people are saying that the old people they don't normally visit, they can't see. So then the app like created a video chat type thing. So now they're using that to connect with the old people and make sure they're okay. And so, yeah.
That's interesting. That's cool.
Yeah.
So, okay, to bring it like back to like design and stuff, like, do we think that like design is like helping bring people together, or is it like what most people are saying, like in mainstream media, that it's like it's making the gap of separation bigger between like people because it's so easy to just chat to some random person that you don't know, or you know? So like, what do we think about like, what is design helping or is it not helping? What are our thoughts on that?
So I think from a design perspective, there are things that kind of help people kind of keep in touch and keep in interacting with one another. So yeah, first of all, we have our of technology that's available to us where you can video call, you Skype, you do whatever to actually see a person's face and speak to them like normal, you know, that level of interaction. But on the things that are a little bit different, for example, like those kissing machines where you can be in two different parts of the world, for example. And it's obviously very impersonal. And that's just one example, but there are weird little products that are out there to make things a little interesting while still knowing there's somebody actually on the other side. Rather than just something mechanical or unrealistic.
Just on like those products I came across before the world goes, this product is a what is a man sorry a fleshlight. There we go, that's what it's called. A fleshlight. So basically it's like a fleshlight that connects to the cloud, and then your partner or girlfriend or whatever has a dildo, and then when she like pleasures herself, it like does the exact same like motions and movements in the like fleshlight, and they can be in like anywhere around the world.
Found that
so interesting. And the like the video I watched, it was like in a documentary, they had these like two strangers like testing the product, and the girl was like weirded out by it because they were in like two separate rooms. Anyway.
But I think that it kind of swings both ways. I think most things will always swing both ways of good and bad. Because I think, it's creating a lot of good for people that are lonely. And I think that we can't live in a society where we pretend that loneliness doesn't exist or where people don't have companionship. So I think it really does help some people. But I think for other people, it's like also something that just needs to be moderated. Like if your issue isn't necessarily loneliness and you're just doing it for shits and giggles. And it's taking up all your time, then, you know.
I mean, on the bad side, I was speaking to Lola about this. I did come across how tech and a lot of these products are starting to be used in domestic abuse. So like the one was explaining that this one woman was saying that what her husband was doing is he would give her the phone, and he would set up all the accounts on the phone and the apps. And what she didn't realize is that one, he enabled parental controls, and secondly, he was installing tracking apps on her phone. So he would know where she was going. And at the end of the day, through parental controls, he would know what she was looking at on her phone and like who she called and so on and so forth. And then she said it got to the point where even the Ring doorbell, so those who don't know, Ring, the doorbell that has like a camera on the outside, he would tap into that and see when she'd left the house or when she was coming back, if she came back with anyone. And then they got a bunch of Amazon Alexa speakers in the house. And she said that, like, if she had, like, guests or her and the children were home, he would tap into the speaker. And I think there's a feature where you can listen into your house so you can hear what's happening.
Jeez.
And he would, like, listen to her conversations. And she says, like, she didn't realize this was, like, he was doing this to an extent until she realized her phone was being tracked. And, like, in her example, she was saying, like, I think one thing that she was saying is that women need to become more tech savvy. Like, never have a man set up your device because you don't know what they're going to install on it or what they're going to do.
Yeah.
To the point, because they also interviewed a couple of IBM designers who were saying the same thing. Like, they were saying tech companies, one, need to encourage human or non-tech savvy people to start doing these things on their own. And then two, they need to have hardware switches. So on Amazon, the speakers and that.
Yeah.
There's usually not a hardware switch to, like, mute the speaker. The mic on this thing. So they need to put hardware switches on that. So I think that comes down to something like industrial designers can think of, consider.
What is the Amazon Echo? Amazon Echo.
Yeah, that's the
key for you. Yeah. They put a hardware switch now on the new one because they had the issue, not for, like, intimacy problems, but they were illegally, as the company, illegally listening in on
people's lives,
customers' lives, and then they reportedly saying that they were just listening in to help the AI pick up voice recognition. So basically, what they had teams who were tapping into customers' Echo devices and then listening in. And then while listening in, they would, like, physically, like, type what the person is saying so that their, like, bigger AI would be able to, like, predict when people speaking, because obviously people have different accents and enunciations and stuff. And basically they were doing this without the permission of customers, obviously. And the whole reason why this came out was because somehow the team was able to tap into one of another member's that was already on the team, and then they heard, like, a whole domestic thing, and then they didn't know how to go about helping that thing. And then it came out that the Amazon Echo was doing that, the Apple HomePod thing was doing that, and the Google Nest, all doing that. And then that's why Echo now has a mute button, so where you can put it on and then she won't recognize what you're saying. I just lost all the air in my lungs. Okay, cool, next.
That's crazy though.
On the point of domestic violence, last thing. there's actually a South African company that created an app. It's called Rainbow, and it basically helps women who feel that they might be in a domestic abuse relationship to identify it. And then basically the app, like, gives them a questionnaire, and they, at the end of it, it will say whether you, like, in a domestic abuse situation based on, like, a bunch of AI stuff. And then it, like, gives you, like, different things that you can do, like rights and and stuff. So I think that's also another cool app. Like, I personally never heard of it until I came across this article, which is crazy, especially in South Africa, where domestic abuse is, like, a serious issue right now. Like, I don't know why the app is not more mainstream.
Yeah.
Go,
Sindhu.
So what I wanted to say was also with that, the idea of all of these devices and things like that, how easy it is for people's relationships and people's kind of domestic environment to be kind of overwatched. Like, we never had that, the way technology and the way things have advanced, even in the last, let's say, 20 years, you know, from not being able to look into your own home when you go to work to literally watching and stalking and knowing where anyone and anyone could be, anyone and everyone could be at any point in time. Like you could track someone in another country, and with the information that we put out or we have online, and it's nearly impossible to completely erase yourself. Somebody will find something on you.
Yeah.
And I think that links back to that article that we've seen on Microsoft wanting to kind of collectively store all of our information and data and consider making it into virtual reality parts for us or future loved ones or people that have passed away. And I don't know.
You mean like Black Mirror coming to life?
Yeah, literally.
Yes.
That in itself is just so strange to think that right now our entire lives have been stored on databases.
Yeah.
And people can actually use that.
Yeah. Why do you think that, like, okay, this is like a completely different question, but like, why do you think people are so like scared of giving their data away, even though they're like, you do it freely on like a daily basis? Like, people are like, oh, Google are going to steal something from us. But you're like, sorry for swearing, but like, you're like, I don't know, you're like posting when you're like eating with like your friend and like, I don't know, girls' night out or whatever the case may be is. And then you're like, oh, WhatsApp is going to see what I'm sending. But you're basically doing it out in the open anyway, but people are so scared for like no reason.
But I think it's also like a sense, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I think it's also like a sense of autonomy. So like when you're the one posting your location and where you are, like, oh, having this lunch at Tasha's or something.
Yeah.
It's like you are putting it out, like you're giving consent to it being out there. And I think people fear that when these like giant companies and corporations are able to sort of hack into your life or something, like it almost feels like it's encroaching on like your sense of privacy and consent and ability to consent to what exactly is being used or and things like that, you know. I mean, I completely agree with you though. I think that it's a bit redundant to be so, oh no, WhatsApp's gonna like track my life or something. Because it's like, oh, dude.
Yeah, that's like, it's like literally one less app that's now going
to carry around a device that's
literally
enables.
If you have a Gmail account, Google knows almost everything about you.
Yeah.
Hence the find my phone thing, you know. If you ever use your phone, it's the convenience of being able to find it.
Yeah.
It just so happens that kind of technology can be used for so many other
aspects. The only way they can do that is with active tracking. Location. Yeah, active tracking or whatever. Yeah. It's the only way. Anyway, back to love and design and all that squid with that.
Yeah. Anyone find any other interesting products?
So we have all the industrial designers here. I just thought about this question now, but like if you had to design a product, futuristic, obviously blue sky, that could help with like relationships or love or intimacy or whatever the case may be, like what do you have any products in mind?
To be honest, I think somebody asked this question previously, and this is why we ended up in this situation right now, where people have strange bots and strange people and fake bodies and virtual realities.
Yeah, but don't you find it interesting that like, well, all the products I could find, myself personally, was a lot of like sexual products.
Yeah,
there aren't any that are like, I don't know, that fall out of the brackets.
Like, I found some that were not like intimacy, but it was kind of like for long distance relationships to kind of like, they served as like reminders that like there was someone on the other side. So like, it's like a bracelet, and then if you touch it, the other person can feel that you're touching it. There's one where it's like a watch and you can set two different time zones on it. Like, so it's not only like stuff to do with sex. There are a few other ones. There's like a heartbeat pillow. I don't really know how relevant that is to everyone, because it's not like you're always sleeping on your significant other.
Yeah.
I guess that also speaks to like the insecurities, because that could work for people that are in relationships and live in the same house, but you know, during the day, rather than sending a text message or something, it's the idea of I'm not with you, but I'm thinking of you type of a thing. So if it's that bracelet, for example, it's just that kind of notion of being thought about or being in connection with someone. I guess that it's almost like that insecurity that they're trying to cure almost. Because otherwise that becomes a very unhealthy thing in a lot of relationships, where because you're not with the person or you're not directly speaking to that person, it creates this doubt or second thought. And this is where that unhealthy, abusive overwatching comes from, either one side or the other.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a product that kind of enables a healthier way to go about communicating between two people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Dan.
No, you can go.
But adding on to that, for people that live very fast-paced lives, where you can't always just like pop your significant other a message or something, it would be easier to just like quickly tap on a bracelet to be like, cool, I'm thinking about you or something like that. Than to be like, hello, my love. I'm thinking of you.
What if it's an accidental tap? What if I just slapped my hand against the door?
Well, then it's an
and now you're like, ooh, he's thinking about me.
It's an accident, that's what works.
Wazir did ask a question and everyone seemed to ignore it.
On your question about why what products we would design.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I think when it comes to relationships and love type things, like there's that bracelet that helps you know that someone is thinking about you. But there's also the aspect of those feelings are like hard to recreate through products. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, because it's
like you can't create the feeling of love.
Because it's intangible. You aren't able to put it through a physical product.
Yeah. And that's why I think objects of the more sexual nature are more popular within designing, because those are feelings you can try and recreate. I guess because sexual organs are sexual organs, they get pleasure or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, you just don't know how to explain it. It's okay, I get you.
I don't know. I mean, okay, one product I came across was...
that was beautiful.
Of.
Go on, Ryan. Go on.
Like, you're in a mystical, weird thing that you don't really know how to go about.
Kama Sutra.
Like, whoa, adults, it's okay.
I'm crying.
I'm trying not to offend people, though.
I'm crying.
Okay.
Go.
What was I saying?
You came across a product.
I came across a product like that was like more focused on sexual health. It's kind of like a sexual Fitbit. It's basically a vibrator that was designed for women. But instead of just doing its thing, it also tracks the quality of your orgasm or your alone time. And then on an app that's a companion, it like keeps track of that, gives you the information and kind of reminds you about that aspect of life and trying to keep it healthy. Because at the end of the day, you do need to take care of things, blah, 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 blah. That's another interesting product.
So with that in mind, also there was another product where it was basically ergonomically shaped, so it mimicked a hand, and you'd walk around with it, or you and your partner would both have it, and any kind of motion or gesture you created on the device, it would mimic or simulate the hand holding on your partner's hand with the product in their hand. So that in itself is like a a long distance thing where if you're not necessarily walking with someone, I don't know if it would be weird walking in the street with this thing in your hand and you feel like somebody's grabbing you. I don't know what that's like, but
yeah.
Yeah. That was just something I found that might be cool from like a...
Yeah, also I found it interesting that like when I did search for like products and about love and stuff, I found the like polar opposite to what I just said, which was looking at love as like security, so like GPS tracking and stuff, and then also looking at it in terms of like how, like instead of like your lover or relationship or whatever, is like your relationship with your like kids and how you could like help that in terms of like a long distance, like when people study far, like how do you like do that in terms of like family and stuff. I didn't find any products, but it came up in an article that I was reading, which is super interesting because I guess there is more to love than just loving the other person.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, I do just have like one point about how... So I don't know if you guys remember that post on the anchor. I was like probably about a month or so ago now on the lack of women in industrial design teams or just in design in general. So the woman that made that original post was... don't know her actual name, but her Instagram handle is something like Design Nerdy or something like that. And so I follow her, and she's part of this group that it's an all-women design group that designs like love toys or like, okay, sex toys. But so I was like looked into it, and the majority of design, I mean, because industrial design is so predominantly male, a lot of toys that are created are from the male perspective. And so a lot of toys actually don't really pleasure women the way they should. And so they are looking to create more opportunities for women to be in these spaces for well or better designed toys for everyone.
Yeah.
Go check them out. They're called Love Crave. They post some like really interesting things on Instagram about like normalizing sex and discussions around sex and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, I think we definitely need more women in the industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think agreed.
And more male sex bots.
There we go. That are actually designed for women.
Well, we need gender neutral bots, technically.
As well.
Yes, I do.
Actually, that's what I was going to ask. I was going to ask that, like, well, what about with the way that gender is kind of perceived in this day and age, how do you think that the bots and the evolution of these bots and I don't know, things are going to change? Because as it stands, we've only recently been able to give specific names and identifiers to people. But over time, if it's an AI and a bot, how do you think it's going to adapt and change based on the people that it's speaking to?
I think that in the future, what could possibly happen is that people are going to create sort of blank bots or canvas bots that you can kind of edit yourself and create your own perfect bots, like more suitable to you as an individual.
Yeah.
So one that's whatever gender that you want or can be transgender. I don't know, but
we get you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I think Real Doll already offers a trans option.
Then that becomes...
Oh, yeah?
Oh. Yeah.
So with that, I wanted to ask, so does that define the type of behavior that should come from the bot? Because, for example, not to sound like uneducated, but if you say you're expecting to have a gay bot, for example, do you expect that gay bot to have a more, I don't know, to be a little more flaunty or be a little bit more masculine?
Yeah, because like, also the issue comes that gay is not, cannot be defined. It's a spectrum.
Yes, not everyone.
Like people.
Exactly. Not everyone's very like flouncy, but not everyone.
feminine and not everyone's very muscular, manly,
Yeah. Do you think that's going to be something? Because trying to define certain things like that, even for people right now,
it's very difficult.
It's a very sensitive topic, you know. People get offended when you say you appear a certain way or you come off a certain way. So to put that into a category and then still have somebody choose
like
that
specific
one,
personality,
or choose the type of person they want or that they like or are.
Yeah.
Trying to define a certain personality can become problematic also.
Jeez, them bots are going to be complex.
I mean, that's a lot of money for some designer somewhere to make.
Dude. Dude.
All I'm saying, and this is why Google and Microsoft and all these other people need our information, because they need to try and get the best AI, UI, whatever you want to call it for future.
Yeah, because that's the thing, like just going over that point, is like if you look at like movies and stuff, when it comes to like AI and when they're trying to like replicate someone something, they usually go for that data, go through emails, go through what they sent on the DMs, what they like, what they don't like, what music they listen to, and then somehow the software is able to like figure out what the AI is going to be. Like in Her, they go through all his stuff to be able to figure out what's the best companion for him. And in Black Mirror, where that lady recreates a husband, as an AI bot.
Yeah.
They go through all the like voice. Well, there was like different tiers. You first start with like voice and then it's like a daily reminder thing and whatever. And
the other direction that's possible is like in Westworld, where there's literally robots created in a world that's completely just fake fantasy, and you go into this world to do whatever you want and kill whoever you want. Basically it could turn out into that, where the bots are kind of
NPCs.
Set up to kind of learn as quick as possible what you are looking for, or you preset it. I don't know.
This is like completely sidetracked from that. It's just kind of a question that appeared to me, because we speak about bots and people from kind of having an online presence, but what about maybe bots and real life kids almost, or younger, like newly formed relationships that people need to have? So the one idea that kind of linking back to was this question of what product would you want to make to help relationships or love? Why not have something that falls under that category for maybe grieving mothers, for example, where it's a baby, for example, that simulates natural baby behaviors that help mothers or grieving mothers deal with their loss, or vice versa, you know, help them get over it or better train them? Or because I know there'll be a lot of ethical issues about kid bots almost.
But so my question about bots and things that are there to sort of help people that are grieving, don't you think that something like that would kind of hinder the grieving process? Like it'll kind of keep you back from pushing through everything, not like pushing through everything, but like moving past everything, because it's kind of like but you're here, but you're not here kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, but I think that goes back to the question like from at the beginning, where we were saying that like is the design of the products helping people overcome their like intimacy problems, or does it help? I think that like those two questions stem from like the same thing, where I think it's person dependent. I think you're definitely going to have people who are going to have, let's say it's like a baby to help a mother. Like you're going to have people who are going to get attached to that baby. And then you're also going to have people who are going to be like, oh, okay, cool. I need to not get over it, but like I need to move on or whatever. Now. Yeah. So I think it's, it comes from that same place.
Okay.
But maybe the difference is we don't have the baby thing yet, and the problem with the first one is that mainstream media has kind of made it taboo to like fall in love with an AI, or it's weird or whatever. So I guess it's worth the time, maybe, or I don't know.
Yeah, so like with that, I think it goes hand in hand with like an older generation and a younger generation, and that in between, where we look at AI as a companion, if we look at it as a companion for older people, but we can't see it as a companion for a younger generation or someone who's grieving. So it's like it is, like Wazir says, dependent, but also it can be used to assist in that process. And at some point, obviously, it needs to be discussed with people who know better, you know, when's the right time to say, okay, you need to slowly phase it out or design it in such a way that it allows you to slowly phase it out of your life almost.
Yeah. I think adding to that is, I think I mentioned it earlier, is that in current society, there's an epidemic of loneliness. And like the one psychologist I was reading that was quoted in this article, you are saying that will be the main reason why we will fall in love with technology and AI and robots, is because our loneliness as individuals is increasing, even though we are more connected, even though we see each other through a screen more often, we are still more lonely than our parents were. So that's why we will fall in love with robots and AI, for that bond to fill that void.
Damn.
Imagine like an AI wedding.
Like two AIs getting married, or someone getting married to an AI?
To an AI.
Like, I mean, you know, that's how, virtual reality.
Dude.
How would
that like wedding take place?
I mean, when my cousin got married, her husband had corona. He got tested the day before they got married. And basically, he wasn't obviously able to attend the wedding. And the way he attended the wedding was through a WhatsApp call.
Wow.
You got married through a WhatsApp call.
So, I mean, we're almost there. We're almost there.
That's wow. Different, bro. Does that mean she's legally married to WhatsApp?
No, man. They got like legally married behind the scenes, but the like ceremony thing was very strange.
Yeah.
Is he better though?
Yeah, no. He's better. He wasn't. Okay, we don't have to speak about that now. Final thoughts on like that design, love, death, and robots, as that animation thing goes on Netflix.
Mm. Is there going to be another season of that?
Yeah, there's rumors that there is. Yeah.
She enjoyed it.
So, final thoughts. What's been happening? What are you guys thinking?
In this day and age, it's gonna be a sensitive subject and a topic to go about.
Mm.
But it also depends on who exactly we're gonna be designing this for. Because, like we say, it can go both ways. It can end up being a very detrimental thing to the people that are using it.
Yeah,
both physically, emotionally, and mentally, because you can lose people quite literally. But you can also help them in a way. You can help them overcome the hardships and difficulties that everybody faces with the way that the world is changing right now.
Yeah. Plus, there'll be more sex options, I guess.
I guess on that note, we say happy Valentine's Day, since we're recording it on Valentine's Day, and we'll see you guys.
Thank you for listening.
See you guys next week, or maybe not. I don't know.
Who listens? Where are you gonna find us?
At Rambles in Perspective on most social media platforms besides Twitter. That's just Rambles B. And send us an email, please. We don't even know if you guys listen to this, but if you do, send us an email. Say hi. We are desperate. No, I'm kidding. And bye.
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 Bye. Bye.